Hi, everyone. This is Bobby Elias. Welcome to our show. Let's create a better world. Also, healthy aging. And this show, in the next few weeks, we're going to do mostly information on health and aging, body, mind, spirit, and advice on how you can live long. In fact, I want to advise you to call next week for sure. We have Dr. Joyce Johnson, an expert on longevity and telomeres. She'll be on for the whole hour. That's Saturday, the 19th of October at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. She's going to tell you how you can live longer, she has a test to tell you how long you might live and what you can do about it, and also which disease you might be getting and what to do about that. She also has blood tests. She has a lot of great stuff she talks about. So be sure to listen to that show if you want to live longer, live healthier, and change your lifestyle. That's what we do on this show. We're mostly about health and aging and giving you advice on everything. And I want to make a couple more announcements, but then I'm going to give a 2 or 3 minute thing on the brain. I have a few new guests that asked me to please put on information about their memory. They're losing their memory, and they need to get on that, and I'll talk about that in a minute. All right. So first of all, this show, we're changing the name gradually, and pretty soon we may even change the time slot of the show. So keep in touch with the show, listen to the promos, and also you're welcome to call me. I'll give you my number now, and hopefully at the end of the show. I'm Bobby Elias, had this show for a few years, had a different show a few years before that, involved heavily in the media and motion pictures. All right, my number, 323-770-1925. All right, here's what I want to talk about the brain, and I want the doctor later is going to make comments on this. What's the causes of Alzheimer's and other memory problems and diseases? They're all come from the flow of the blood to both the brain. It produces Alzheimer's on people. So you need to change the flow in the blood. Here's how you can do that. A lot of things to do with health. First of all, heavy metal toxins are all over the place, everywhere you go. Mercury and aluminum, they're in your cookware. They're everywhere. So you need to try to get better cookware. You need to stay away from junk foods and bad foods and eat a better diet. We're going to talk about that in a second. Metals, no good. Aluminum, no good. There's a lot of aluminum out there without you even knowing it's there. And we want to be able to have you live pure with pure water. Let's talk about water for a second. Tap water has got horrible, horrible stuff in it. It's really bad. A lot of pollutants. You don't want that. You'd be surprised. Some of these companies that have bottled water, it's really tap water. They're just trying to make money. They don't care. There's a lot of BS out there, so be careful. All right? You want alkaline water if possible. You want water for your brain. Your brain, 70% of the water in your body and your brain, even 80% maybe, is water. So we need to put good water in our system. And the doctor's going to comment on this, hopefully. So cookware is important. There's also vitamins and minerals are important. I'm a nutritionist, and I help people using Gary's methods, green powders, red powders, and cruciferous. If people do that, they'll be healthy like myself. That's what I do every day. I use powders. I put liquids in there, and the greens are all the vegetables and the things from the ocean, wheatgrass. The reds are berries, and the cruciferous are all the raw sprouted vegetables that you don't get anywhere. Okay, so you want to be careful about fructose, sweeteners, and corn syrup. So there's my thing on brains. To the people that have memory problems, take note. You are also welcome to call me. I give you my number. I'll give it to you again, and I'll give you more information on that. Be happy to. That's what I do. I'm a nutritionist, and I help people. And if they don't have money, not a problem. We still help them. All right, let's get to our show. First of all, next week, Dr. Joyce Johnson will be here talking about telomeres, talking about a new test she developed to tell you about the possibilities of diseases. It's a great, great show, one of the best we've ever had. I'm very excited about that. So tune in next Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. That would be the 19th of October, okay? All right. Our co-host, Stefan. Hey, Stefan, how you doing?
Great, Bobby. Thanks for the introduction. It's Stefan Rudolph here, and yeah, you got me fired up just listening to you. We have a great doctor on the line with us. Going to introduce him here in a few minutes, Dr. Thomas Lodi, and also wanted to be a part of this because of what we're going through and the summit that is coming up this weekend that the doctor is going to be attending. It's called the Enlivened Living Conference, and it's in Denver, and it's really focused on health and wellness and exactly what Dr. Lodi does, and that's something that we are here to help let people know about this, what I've gone through in my life, too, with my battle with epilepsy and addiction and overcoming obstacles in life related to prescription drugs. And I was actually in the pharmaceutical industry for a couple years selling the drugs myself and was taking drugs for my epilepsy, and just the power that we have to heal within. And what I went through with, I had brain surgery back in 2007, and overcoming obstacles like that and getting off medication and also self-healing myself as well, going through alternative medicines and holistic healing. And that's where Dr. Lodi has his Alternative Cancer Treatment Center. And we're going to be speaking to him about that here soon, because what happens too is our diet is a huge impact. And a lot of us in America, without the right knowledge, you know, we don't think about what we eat. A lot of fast food problems out there, a lot of diabetes, cancer, and we think it's just take a pill and everything will be better. But then all of a sudden we're taking five or six pills and our life is miserable. We end up with cancer. We need to find out better ways to be more aware of what we're eating, what it's doing to us, and just the overall awareness to avoid disease. Because if it's not, you know, going in the right way, it's a dis-ease in our life. We're not having a comfortable life. We're not doing what we have to do in order to live the right way. And so I want to introduce Dr. Lodi here, Thomas Lodi. How are you doing today?
Very good, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your practice there and what your main goals are and how you help people, and also the event coming up this weekend.
Okay. I've got a center, actually, and it's a healing center. It's in Arizona, and we work mainly with people with cancer. Although there, you know, what you were saying, what was being said earlier about the brain and health has to do with the entire body. You can't really separate one organ from another. They're all interconnected and they all work together. And so what's happening in the brain is happening in the heart, is happening in the liver, is happening everywhere. And so when we work with people with cancer, we're really doing the same thing that we would do with any condition, because it turns out that what we call disease is the body trying to defend itself against toxins. We accumulate toxins over a lifetime, and our ability to get rid of those toxins decreases. And as those toxins accumulate, then our cellular metabolism can't work. We cannot produce energy, and when we cannot produce energy, we get tired and fatigued. And if you ever notice that when you say you're sick, what you're really, the first thing you're going to notice is, oh, I don't have any energy. And if you're bouncing out of bed and you've got energy, then you're not sick. You're healthy. So we really have to look at energy as being the way we define whether or not someone is healthy or sick, or whether they're old or young. I mean, a young person's bouncing off the walls and the old person's sitting in a chair, you know. And when you run out of energy, the game's over. So we're talking about energy, and it's the ability to take the foods that we eat, metabolize them, and turn them into energy. And a big part of that is that the cell has to be clean. So we often talk about detoxification, and what we most of us don't realize is that in order for the body to detoxify on a physiological level, it has to be happening on the cellular level. So every cell has an intracellular mechanisms for detoxification. And what I wanted to talk about with, and I even bring this back to brain health and to memory and Alzheimer's and those sorts of things, is that within each cell there are these little organelles called lysozymes, and what they do is it's their job to eat up the old, proteins and the old mitochondria and all the old things that are and also the garbage that gets in the cell, and so they're kind of the recycling plant. They grab these things and they take out what's good. They take out the proteins and they take out the amino acids. They take out the fats. the carbs, and they recycle them, and they can be used by the cells to make new things. Well, as they clean out that garbage, they make more room for the other little organelles called mitochondria, which are the energy producers. So if you don't keep the cell clean, then you crowd the energy producers, and you have less and less energy. One of the major stimuluses to get that whole process going is hunger. When you're hungry, don't think of it as a bad thing. Realize that what's happening now is that your cells are saying, uh-oh, it's hungry, so now we have to recycle some of this garbage to get it for fuel, and that's what happens. So detoxification is not something that you do, it's something that you don't do when you stop eating. That's why we all know that fasting is, nature's cure. Every animal on the earth fasts when they're sick. They just do that. The only ones that don't are humans, because humans have kind of stepped out of nature, and we built all these cities and stuff. But it's fasting. So along with eating the right things, another critical part of dietary habits is when you don't eat. You should have periods of not eating. You should not eat three meals a day. You know, you should eat 1 to 2 meals a day. In nature, animals don't find food every day. They might find food today and then not for 2 days. So they're always doing intermittent fasting. And the one surism, the one certainty in all anti-aging therapies and anti-aging medicine is the less you eat, the longer you live. Now, not completely, but if you cut any creature's caloric intake by 50%, you'll increase their lifespan by 30%. And that's because your body has a chance to clean house. And for most of us, the only time that we have a chance to clean house is when we're sleeping, because we're finally not eating. You know, most of us are eating from the moment we wake up till the moment we go to sleep. So when you're not eating, so keep that in mind, that not eating is very, very important. And it stimulates the whole process of intracellular recycling and cleaning up the garbage. And if the cells are working good, then the organs are working good and the body's working good. So what we do with cancer is what you do with any condition. If you're going to deal with any condition, the first thing you want to do is clean out the garbage. Clean the water in the aquarium. You know, if the fish are sick, the veterinarian's not going to say, bring me a fish. He's going to say, bring me a cup of the water. I'll tell you what's wrong with those fish. And that's it. So what we do is we clean the water in the aquarium. We do that through green juice feasting. I call it feasting, not fasting. And getting some enemas, keeping your colon clean, and drinking all this fluid so that you're urinating a lot and your kidneys are being flushed out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And part of this whole process is, like I said, we get a lot of healing and health while we are sleeping. That's why you crawl into bed ragged and you jump out in the morning and you're healthy and you're feeling good. So where'd all that energy come from? That energy from sleep comes from the fact that you cleaned house during the night. You got rid of the garbage, so now all the cells can work better and produce energy more efficiently. So we do this with people, and it turns out that their hypertension goes away. It turns out their diabetes goes away. Their arthritis goes away when we do that. And then we have, of course, other therapies that are specifically for cancer. But if you don't teach a person how to stop making cancer, then it really doesn't matter how good you are at getting rid of it. It'll be back. And who's making cancer? Every one of us. We all have nanograms, micrograms, milligrams, or if you have 1 gram, then it's diagnosable. That's a little lump in the breast, a nodule on the prostate, et cetera. So 1 gram is what we call diagnosable. Most of us are walking around with milligrams of cancer in us. So who needs to stop making cancer? We all do. And so that's what we do. That's the foundation of what we do, in addition to our therapies, which actually get rid of the tumors. And we've expanded even to Asia now. We're opening up centers in Thailand. And this weekend...
Great. Mm-hmm. Yes, doctor. Okay, we want to move on. We got a lot of stuff here. Great information. Thank you. I want to make a comment and ask you a question. This is Bobby Elias. And by the way, for those that are tuning in, this is Dr. Thomas Lodi, integrative doctor. He's in Mesa, Arizona. He's doing a lot of great stuff. And, doctor, I know you only got 3 hours sleep, and I know that you've got jet lag, so we want to thank you for being on this show. Also, here's my comment. The future, a lot of great things. The last few weeks we've been talking about health summits. That's the thing of the future, I think. Online health is on the future. Integrative medicine, I want your comments on that. This is also growing more and more and more a thing of the future. Your comments on integrative medicine, please. And tell our listeners more what it really is. A lot of them don't know much about it.
Okay, yes, absolutely. Well, the word integrate means to bring together different things.
Right.
You know, we talked about in the 60s integrating people, you know, mixing people of color with white people and everybody coming together, integrating, bringing people, bringing things together. So integrative medicine, what it does is it brings together the different healing modalities, the different healing disciplines. And as you know, we have traditional Chinese medicine, we have Ayurvedic medicine, we have naturopathic medicine, botanical medicine, and then we have what MDs are, which is how I was trained, and we're called allopaths, and then you have osteopaths, and you have chiropractic, and you have acupuncture. So an integrative approach would be taking the best of each healing discipline and using it for the benefit, you know, because it's not that any one particular discipline has all the answers. And it's not that any one discipline is completely bad. There is some good in allopathic, conventional allopathic medicine, but a great deal of it is not, because the basic approach of the standard MD allopathic approach is using drugs and surgery and radiation and things like that. And those are only needed occasionally in certain situations. But what's more important is to bring in modalities of healing that actually support the body's innate ability to heal. So in an integrative medicine is now, the world is waking up to it, because what they're realizing is, hey, I've been taking this drug for my arthritis for 20 years and I still have arthritis and I still have high blood pressure. So these drugs clearly don't work. So that's basically what integrative medicine is. It's bringing, it's sifting out and finding the best of a multiplicity of disciplines and using them in one package.
Exactly, Dr. Lurie. That's my experience in pharmaceutical sales, too. I sold Effexor, antidepressants, all these drugs that did not actually cure. They just, it helped, you know, but the patient themselves has to be aware of what they have to do in their life to change things around and not look for a cure through medicine like this, right? And just change their life and their health. And be aware of that. Don't just pop a pill and think, oh, I'm all better, because it never really cures anything. You're going to be on it the rest of your life, and that's not good.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You have a question, Stefan? Because I have a really important question.
Yeah. There was what you went over, Doctor, was great in the beginning, too, about breaking the fast. I like that. And people, when we get hungry, we feel that urge that right away it comes in and says, I got to eat. And we're eating 4, 5, 6 times a day, which can be good, but in today's society, a lot of fast food, a lot of problems with diabetes. You mentioned green juicing as well. I like that green juice fasting, not fasting, you know, and having that in the morning is what I do. Healing is done while sleeping. I also noted that, because that's a huge point where we need at least 6 to 8 hours. The doctor had mentioned coming back, flying back, only getting 3 hours of sleep, and we feel the difference right away. For the next 24 hours at least, we'll feel this difference if we don't get that sleep. That's just to be in tune with our body. And part of what I went through with the epilepsy, having the surgery, and after brain surgery, it didn't work, and I still had seizures. So I still was able to overcome this by being aware of what I was eating, what I was drinking, you know, Monster, 5-hour energy drink, all the crap that we have out there in fast food world is not good. And you have some great points about healing yourself and being in touch with yourself, especially when it comes to cancer and what you do as far as your natural holistic treatments, teaching people how to stop making the cancer. That was a good point, too. And you can tell us, as far as your experience, do you have a patient in general that you have an example of that you can tell us about?
We've so many. It's been, you know, I've been doing this particular cancer work for 15 years. There's many, 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 but I mean, for example, I mean, I can tell you a lady with breast cancer, a Chinese woman, was brought to us, and she came in on a gurney because she couldn't sit up. She was on oxygen. She had breast cancer that spread to her lungs so much that when I did an X-ray, there was absolutely no normal lung tissue. It was just all full of cancer. And she was told she had 3 weeks to live. And I walked up to her gurney, and she grabbed my arm, and she said, thank God, now I know I'm going to make it. And the reason is she had read what I do and seen some of my YouTubes, and so she was convinced. And told she had 3 weeks to live. 8 weeks later, she was jogging to our clinic, and her husband would drive behind her and make sure she was okay. And I got a postcard from her a couple months ago. It's been 8 years, and she was on a European holiday with her husband. And this happens all the time. I've got other fantastic stories too. There's one other lady that this is kind of a really semi-sad story, but illustrates what I'm talking about. She came in, she had advanced stage 4 cancer, and she couldn't even move her right arm because she had so many lymph nodes involved. Anyway, when I talked to her, she said, okay, I gave her a long talk, and she said, okay, all I want to do is change my life. I want to drink the juices, do the fasting, do the colonics, do lymphatic work, go to bed early, wake up, and do my prayer and meditation. Which we recommend in the morning. You know, you go to bed early because we're diurnal creatures. You know, we're not nocturnal, we're diurnal. And when we go to bed earlier, we actually secrete more hormones, growth hormone, melatonin, et cetera. So we're designed to go to bed early. So anyway, she did all this stuff. And this was in June of 2001 when I met her. And I told her, I said, well, I know you're not going to get any IVs or anything from me, but come in once a month. Let me just check on you, see how you're doing. And so she'd come in every month, and I would check her, and she got more and more healthy and lively, and now she was able to move her arm again. And she was just doing the periodic fasting and the eating of – she was eating raw vegan food. In January of the next year, 6 months later, she had a fatal automobile accident. And when they did an autopsy, there was no cancer.
Wow.
So we were, her husband and I had become friends. We were profoundly affected by this. And we realized one thing, a couple things. One is we realized that the number of days on earth may not be up to us, you know, but it's the quality. Her husband said, you know, these last 6 months she wasn't dying, she was living. Our relationship got better, her relationship with her kids got better, and she just had a wonderful, beautiful time. And then she was taken out in a car accident. But the autopsy, which is indisputable, showed that she had no cancer. And this was just from changing her lifestyle.
Exactly. That's awesome.
It was an incredible story.
Well, that's super, Doctor. This is Bob Elias again, and our show is Let's Create a Better World. But right now, on this current time, we're doing much more on health and aging and body, mind, spirit, integrated medicine, health summits. We're doing a lot, and we want to do more. We also don't want to forget about women's rights, animal rights, and creating a better world. We're into all those things, and I'm really excited about our show and about the future. Doctor, I really like you. I think you really hit on some great answers. Integrated medicine is great. I don't know if you're aware of it, but every year on during the Labor Day weekend, which happened about a few weeks ago, they have a big cancer convention. It's really, really good. It's it was about 5-6 weeks ago. It's in Los Angeles at the Sheraton Hotel, and I want to see if I get you in if you want next year. You can go Saturday, Sunday, or Monday of Labor Day weekend, usually the first week of September. And I'll talk to you about that in the future. But okay. I'd love to have you on again. I like what you said about all these modalities that people don't know about, acupuncture and reflexology we want to talk about. And you mentioned a number of things that mainstream America does not do in the medical places. I have people that are on Medicare. They can't get a holistic doctor. They can't get chiropractic work. They can't get acupuncture. They can't get anything. All they get is pills and surgery and the usual junk. And we're against that. We talk about that all the time. Anyway, I want to make comment on the fact that you said to eat less. We talk about that a lot on our show, that you must eat less and less. The size of your stomach is the size of a fist. And also, you must eat slow. Chew your foods. Make it almost liquid. They say 30, 40 times. I say at least 20 times. Chew real well, and the food will go in and work better that way. I'm sure you'll agree on that. Also, wanted to ask you about what is here? That's about it. I like your comments on two things. I have questions from some of my listeners. Here, the first question is about heart disease. Here, I have a gentleman that had open heart surgery, and I have other people that have had strokes, heart problems. I like your take and answer to this one gentleman about what to do, because he doesn't want to take all those pills that they give him. What to do after open heart surgery, and what can he take? He's trying to go holistic and try to have healthy foods. He did start with the medication, but I told him to cut back. He's cutting back more and more. Your answers and questions on that, please. Our thoughts.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, open heart surgery means that they it's really open chest surgery. What they do is they open the chest, they stop the heart. So basically, you're actually dead during the operation, and then they take the blood and they run it through a machine that keeps it, you know, oxygenated, et cetera, while they repair. And what they're doing is they're going in, and it's the arteries, they're called the coronary arteries, that feed the heart muscle itself. The reason they're doing the heart surgery is because one or more of those arteries have been blocked, and they're no longer able to provide blood for the heart muscle. So they go in and they usually do bypass. They'll take a vein from the leg or something like that, and they'll run it into the same area so that it's kind of a bypass. And that's what, you know, so you have double bypass, triple bypass, quadruple bypasses, and that's what it is. And they close they connect all the tubes back up, and then they close the chest again, and that's what it is. So now here's the problem: if you go back to living the same life that you lived, you got to understand that you're going to create the same thing. If you don't stop doing it, the simple example that we can all relate to clearly is a person has lung cancer, and we're working with him, and we convince him to quit smoking, and 6 months later he starts smoking again. Well, you know, what can you say? You know, that he's going to earn the condition back again. And what we have to remember about health and disease is that just as we don't catch health, neither do we catch disease. We earn either by the way we live our lives. So what you need to do when you come out of heart surgery is make sure you don't need to get you don't have a failed bypass. And the failed bypass means that 2 or 3 years later you're going to be back in the same boat. And what do? You have to eat the way we were designed. It turns out that we're primates. We're in a group of primates called hominids. And hominids, there's orangutans, chimps, gorillas, and humans are the four hominids. And since humans have so many different cultures and we're so divorced from nature, we don't really know how to eat. We have seminars on what to eat. We have books about it. We have to talk about it. You don't see dogs talking about what to eat. You don't see elephants talking about what to eat. They know what to eat because they're plugged into nature by instinct. We've lost our instinct because of culture. We were enculturated. So anyway, so we have to look at our neighbors or our cousins. Our cousins are the gorillas and the chimps. They're the other primates. What do they eat? Our cousins and neighbors are not dogs. And yet, when I walk around, I see most people are eating dog food. Corpses. They're eating corpses and they're eating other garbage. So, you know, because dogs are scavengers. So anyway, we happen to not be in the canine family. We happen to be in the primate family. So what do? We eat primate food. You know, what do they eat? A gorilla eats 20, 30 pounds of greens a day, some fruit, and that's what they eat. And when we do that, when we live according to our biological requirements, what happens? Our biology thrives. We thrive. So what you need to do now that you've had this condition, it was a beautiful wake-up call, and fortunately you're okay. So now what do? To stop making that condition by living according to your biological requirements, which means eating fruits, vegetables, drinking juices, going to bed early, waking up early, have some sort of spiritual connection that you do first thing in the morning, meditate or pray, and then do some exercise. Also, read. There's a before exercise, actually, if you read, because the reason you want to read in the morning is because, as you know, when you read things at night, you have to read them over and over, and you can't quite get it because your mind is full. It's been busy all day. But you read in the morning, your mind's fresh. So 30 minutes in the morning is equal to 2 hours in the evening. So you read books on health, on healing, or scripture, whatever it is that you need to read, but you read things that are true. And then you go out for your exercise. So before you leave the house in the morning, you've taken care of mind, body, and spirit. You're protected. You go out there, you've got more willpower to walk past the burrito shop or the donut shop because you're feeling great and you just read something about that in the morning. Okay, but if you wake up late and you're drinking coffee and you're likely to succumb to your old desires. So now's the time. And medications, you'll find that medications will no longer be necessary. If you were on a high blood pressure medicine, you'll find that now that you take it, it lowers your blood pressure too much and it makes you dizzy, so you can't take it anymore. If you're on diabetic medicine, you'll find out that it's going to lower your sugar. You can't take it anymore because now your body has become normal. So you outgrow the medicines. Depression, it doesn't matter what it is, you will no longer need it. You will have regained
exactly, Dr. Lee. That's a great point.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Stephon, I wanted to add a little more to what he said. I mean, I want to ask the question, because as you know, we have a gentleman that's been asking me, and you know who he is, about the heart. Now, if he's going to cut back on medication after having open heart surgery, I told him to get on a healthy lot. He's doing that. But what else can he do? We told him to exercise. He's starting to do that, but not as well as he should. But give me some, give him some thoughts on what he can do, because he wants to get rid of all that medication and live a more pure health lifestyle. Any more thoughts on that, please?
Well, yeah, I alluded to it a little bit earlier, and that is that the most important thing you can do, so that you will, because the reason you're not exercising or you're not eating right and all that sort of things is because you're giving way to your old desires and your old habits. So the most important thing you can do to get a foundation is to go to bed early. Now, most people don't do that anymore, but if you go to bed early and wake up early, you will have the courage and the willpower and the strength to do all the other right things. So what you got to do, you got to go to bed early because you get enough sleep. When you get up and you're feeling good, then exercise is easy to do. In fact, you'll want to exercise. Now, in your case, you're going to have to exercise very slowly. You have to take it slowly. So you start out by walks, and then you can go into bicycling. And you want to be able to get up to the point where you're doing 20 to 30 minutes of vigorous exercise without getting out of breath. If you get out of breath, you've gone too far. So that's called aerobic training. And so you want to do that. But by doing that, you keep your arteries happy. You stimulate hormone secretion and all that. So it's sleep, eating the right foods, and eating 1 to 2 times a day. You know, when you're eating nutritious foods versus non-nutritious foods, you don't have this gnawing hunger that we all have. If you eat a Big Mac or a Burger King or a pizza, you're not satisfied. It didn't satisfy you because it didn't take care of your nutritional needs. And so eating non-foods is going to keep you eating and eating and eating and eating. But if you eat really healthy foods, you know, nutrient-dense foods, you'll find that you don't have that gnawing hunger anymore, and you will eat less. Water, very important. Got to drink a lot of water. Our body, like you said, the body's 70% water. And it's got to be, what kind of water does it have to be? Well, you know, the best water in the world is the water that comes up from the earth, that the earth has ripened, the spring water. But to find a non-polluted spring nowadays, the only place we can find them is in our memories. They don't exist anymore. So one good way of getting water, you know, you get reverse osmosis, and then you can get alkaline water, etc. But guess what plants do? Plants take the water, they alkalinize it, and they filter it, and then they produce what's called structured water. So making green juice and other kinds of juices from plants, it gives you beautiful, fantastic water. So you drink lots of water, drink juices, eat healthy, living foods, go to bed early, exercise, and you'll just find that your life will absolutely turn around. Health is the consequence of living according to your biological requirements. Okay.
Exactly. That's a huge, great point in my life too. What people have done, and I've seen this, in overcoming obesity, disease, addiction when it comes to food, especially like you said, because when I go out and play racquetball or I work out, I noticed this about 2 years ago that I had this urge to eat, like, oh my gosh, I need to fill, because I was eating too many fillers. I was eating those carbs. I was eating the things that were saying, oh, I need to eat that, but then I'd be working out, and I had this hunger still. It was like a void when I was eating food, and I thought I'm filling up. It was the wrong foods. So definitely, that's a great point on dietary habits. They affect our sleep patterns. They affect how we feel the next day. Everything is related to how we're fueling our body.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. In fact, you know, we've all heard of road rage. Well, it's not really road rage. You know when it is. Road rage is usually at specific times during the day. One time is around 9 or 10 o'clock, people are getting road rage. I call it bagel rage. What happened was these people got up, they ate carbs, their sugar shot up, and now they're driving to work and all that, and their sugar's going down, and they're getting angry. You know,
yeah.
So a lot of times our emotions are intimately related to blood sugar levels and other nutrients that we take in. So You know, because if, by the way, if you eat junk food and you're feeling toxic and you're in a room and you're trying to work on a piece of paper, you have a report due or whatever it is, and a fly comes in the room, you're going to scream at the fly. You're going to be crazy mad at it. Now, if you've been cleansing and you're at the end of a two-week cleanse and you're driving in traffic and someone cuts you off, you'll bless them. You'll say, go, go. So our level of toxicity really affects our emotional and psychological condition as well.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, let me introduce you once again to our listeners. This is Dr. Thomas Lodi on the line, integrative doctor. He'll be on a big health summit that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. And you want to hear this him again on that. Dr. Lodi's in Arizona. You're doing a great job, doctor, by the way. I really enjoy everything you're saying. This is what we need to hear from everyone. But I also want to ask you a question that I've been asked by several men. Quite often I have women that ask me questions. I run a group in L.A. called the Gary Null Health Support Group. We had a meeting 4 weeks ago. We showed one of Gary Null's films. We're going to do the same thing 2 weeks from now on a Saturday, the 24th. It's for those of you listeners in the Los Angeles or Southern California area, that's the 24th of October, Saturday, 2 p.m. We show two films, Saving the Planet and also Poverty Incorporated. By Gary Null. They're prize-winning films that are winning lots of awards all over the world. The question is this. I have several people that I'm helping, and they have prostate problems. We've talked about some answers. Some of the answers I was given by some top people was green light laser. Another question answer was that, stay away from surgery. If you want to just live the way you're living, do that to stay healthy, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a number of things that have been told. But I would like your answer, your thoughts, for the gentleman that called me and asked me to ask the doctor about prostate cancer, but how to prevent cancer also. Your answer, please.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Well, as men get older, they usually get enlargement of the prostate, and it's called BPH, benign prostatic hypertrophy. It gets bigger and bigger, and some of those men get prostate cancer. In fact, when they do autopsies on men over 90s, like in 92, 93, almost 98 and 100% of them have cancer. They might have died from something else, but they have prostate cancer. So prostate cancer seems to be inevitable, but it's only in our culture. We don't find it in indigenous cultures. One of the main things with prostate health is animal products. Eating animal products will the prostate endocrinologically or hormonally is very similar to breast. So the same reason that women are getting breast cancer, men are getting prostate cancer. And what happens is there's too many estrogens in the environment, xenoestrogens. If you're drinking out of plastics, eating out of plastics, getting pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, all these things are estrogen mimickers. And it's estrogen that stimulates the growth of breast cancers and prostate cancers. Because we're told by the conventional world that it's testosterone. Well, if testosterone caused prostate cancer, then the 22-year-old in Gold's Gym who was up all night having sex and has high testosterone levels would be having cancer. But it's not. It's the little old guy who can no longer get an erection, whose testosterone levels are very low. He's the guy getting it. So it's really not the testosterone. What we find out is that when people age, they start to convert testosterone into estradiol, which is an estrogen, and that is what stimulates it. So, of course, when they go and they give the men hormone blocking, testosterone blocking drugs, they get better initially, because what's happening, if there's less testosterone, it cannot be converted into the estradiol, into the estrogen, so they have less estrogen. So anyway, it turns out that so it's those hormonal contributors to it, as well as animal products. Since we were not designed to eat animal products, our bodies are really not designed. I won't go into that now; it's a long talk. But our bodies are not designed to it. The garbage accumulates in different places, and one place as it is with men is the prostate. Now, another thing with prostate health is actually ejaculation. Men must ejaculate a certain number of times. There are urologists who tell men you must ejaculate 2 to 3 times a week. You want to keep your prostate flowing, otherwise it gets congested. Now, I'm 64, and I've been a vegetarian for 45 years. When I was 19 years old, I woke up, and I've been a vegan for about 25 years, but my PSA is 0.9. I don't have any BPH at all, and so I'm sure that I don't have any cancer cells in there as well. So prostate health, your prostate will be healthy if your heart's healthy, if your brain's healthy, if your pancreas is healthy. They're all interconnected and related. Just like the man we were talking about earlier with the coronary artery disease, his arteries are blocked. Well, you don't think that just those arteries got blocked. It deposited there, and those happen to be small arteries, and they're connected to the heart, so the problem was noticed. But on all the bigger arteries, they're just as plugged up, and they've got debris in them as well. So this person is just as likely to have a stroke or to have an infarct in his kidney or something like that. So if you have one artery blocked up, it's not one artery. You can imagine all the arteries are blocked up. If you're having prostate problems, you can imagine that almost every organ in your body is having some sort of congestion and problems like that. But what I can say specifically about prostate is what I just told you. It has to do with hormones, diet, and using your prostate, clearing it out through ejaculation.
Gentlemen, we got about 10 minutes left. Stefan, you have another question? Stefan, are you there? We're talking to Dr.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I do have a question regarding those are great points, Dr. Lodius, about the healthy aging that we're going through. So I'm 44 myself, and we talked about baby boomers, Generation X, you know, and more awareness of what we're intaking because what it's causing. And I've had friends that have been diagnosed with cancer. I had a friend who went through the surgery, the lap band, and he lost about 70 pounds initially, but now he's gained 90% of it back over 2 years. So more awareness, because I see this as more of a disease in itself. We get so addicted to our eating habits. Just tell us maybe your experience about working with patients and changing them, because it reminds me of how, like, alcohol, drugs, everybody has this type of addictive personality in one way or another. Maybe it's work, maybe it's sex, as you mentioned, anything. But how do you change these? Is there a technique that you use or you recommend for people going through this transition to break these type of eating habits?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and it was spot on about the addiction. The mother of all addictions is eating, because you got to eat. And so it's really hard to change that one. And the problem with eating is that by the time we're 3, our basic fundamental appetites have been formed by what our parents feed us, you know. And so if you go to China, in certain parts of China, you'll find that they're eating monkey brain. If you go to Thailand, you'll find that they're eating insects. If you go to Italy, you'll find that there's a cheese there that's swarming with maggots. If you go into the U.S., you'll find they're either eating dead cows. So wherever you go, you find that. And so you imagine I'm in China and I'm talking to a guy about changing his diet, and he's thinking, oh, you know, I don't know if life's worth living if I can't have monkey brain once a week. You know, so what we look at it from our culture, we think, how absurd, how crazy. But they could look at what we're doing. You know, you're eating a dead cow, you know, or a dead chicken. I mean, so we have to understand that these habits are developed by the time you're age 3. And if you don't believe me, try to tell a 4-year-old what to eat. You can't. You can easily tell a 2-year-old, but not a 4-year-old. So anyway, once we get these habits, then as we grow older, they're modified and they're embellished, but basically we're eating the same things. And they're very, very hard to break. Now, I've been working on this for 45 years on my own habits, and I was, you know, I'm Italian, I was raised Italian, and I still, when I smell that food, it still turns on those old memories,
receptors.
I salivate, you know, and the whole thing. But what keeps me from doing it? Knowledge. Nothing else keeps me from it. It's the knowledge. What keeps the smoker from going back to cigarettes? It's the knowledge of it. If you don't know how bad it is, and you want to take a look at some lungs, and you want to take a look at that, you want to see people that can't breathe anymore, ask the guy who's got a respirator and just had his larynx cut out, and he's got and he can't move around. Ask him if it was worth it. You know, so So we have to understand. So yes, eating is an addiction, and what we have to understand about eating is there's a very important distinction between appetite and hunger. Now, they are polar opposites. And let me explain that. Hunger is unlearned. It's natural. It's nonspecific. And it's easily satisfied. You find a starving child in Africa with a bloated belly because they haven't eaten, and you offer them anything, they'll take it. It's nonspecific. And they're easily satisfied. And they say, thank you. They're grateful. Okay, appetite is the opposite. It's learned. It's not natural. You have to learn. It's nonspecific. I mean, it is completely specific. That's what cravings are. And it's never satisfied. Whereas hunger is easily satisfied, it's never satisfied. So if you have any kind of craving, or I gotta have a whatever that gotta have, don't have it, because gotta have it means you're not really hungry. I mean, I have children, and they said, Papa, I want a pizza. Well, we don't have any pizza. How about a salad? You're not hungry. You know, this is appetite. So what we do is we feed our appetite, so we don't feed our hunger. How often do people sit down and say to each other, hey, have you had enough phytonutrients and have you had enough fiber today? We don't say that. We say, what do you feel like? I feel like a burrito. You know, so we feed that, okay? And by feeding that, we're going to eat the wrong things. So how do we change it? And believe me, this is not easy, because even people with cancer, and they're the easiest to work with, because people with heart attacks are negotiating, but people with cancer stop negotiating. They say, you tell me what to do. Stand on my head for 8 hours, I'll stand on my head. You know, you want me to, you know, do anything. So that's why I love working with people with cancer, because they're open. They're willing to change. But so what we do is we need to do three things. We need to change their database, what their knowledge is, and we need to and teach them what is good, healthy food. And then we also need to give them the experience of health. Otherwise, it's just theoretical. So what we do is we put people on a sort of a green juice feast, a cleanse, and do some colonics and have them sleeping early. We have them do this for a month, and they're feeling so fantastic. They haven't felt this good forever, since they were kids. And now they know the results. It's been an experience. But the other thing that's important, the minute they walk out of our center, if they've been with us for 6 weeks, for 8 weeks, in a protected environment where we only serve healthy foods, et cetera, and they're feeling fantastic, they're going to go back home to their lifestyles, and all the triggers will be there, and they'll start eating the foods that they grew up with. The only thing that's going to save them is the knowledge. So one of the most important rules, I mentioned this earlier, is reading every day. You've got to read every day. And in fact, go to a high school reunion and take a look around you. And the people that are looking extremely unhealthy are non-readers. Readers are people that are usually informed, and they're doing something with their life, and they're changing. So knowledge is the key. So part of changing your life means you've got to get books on health and healing, and read them in the mornings, 30 minutes, an hour, as long as you can read. And every day you need to recharge and change your database, because when you go out into the world, even the subliminal information, advertising, you see a beautiful girl or a buffed guy eating a burger, you know, in a commercial. They do all these things. So you're getting this information subliminally that is telling you the opposite of the truth. So you need to battle that and put in new input, so that the tapes that are playing in your head start to become tapes that are good for you, that are going to be to your benefit. They tell addicts, they tell heroin addicts, they tell cigarette addicts, alcoholics, never get tired. If you get tired, you're going to succumb. So go to bed early. It always comes down to the same things. Go to bed early and eat the right, and read. And you do those things, and what's reading going to tell you? If you're reading the truth, it's going to tell you to do what? To eat healthy and to exercise. That's what it's going to tell you. So then you'll start doing it. The minute I stop reading, if I don't read for 2 weeks, I it's not safe to leave the house. Even though I've read all these books 100 times, I've got to keep reading, because remember, we have tapes in our brains that were put there since the age of 3, and they're really stuck deep inside.
And even what I do is I listen to a lot of these books too. The books, I'm a big listening fan. I listen to Audible, so I have a lot of Wayne Dyer books. I was going to mention him too because you mentioned An Attitude of Gratitude, but really just listening to books, reading books, getting more, absorbing more knowledge of what's going on in our life. You had some huge points there. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Those are the key points to avoid in any type of addiction recovery or life in general. We can't be hungry. We've got to focus on not being angry, lonely, tired, get some sleep, feed your appetite. You mentioned that, and it's something versus feed your hunger. You know, those are great points. Changing your database, too. I love that because there's a book I'm going to have coming out called Control-Alt-Delete, and that's basically deleting your database and recharging it, rebooting it. Those are some awesome points. I love that.
Gentlemen, we got to finish up because of the time slot. We're going to put the music on in a few minutes. Doctor, could you give your contact information? And then, Stefan, you can talk about the upcoming health shows, but we got to be very brief on the summits. Go ahead, Doctor.
Yeah. Okay. My clinic in Arizona is called an Oasis of Healing, but it's easy to find online. Just go to stopmakingcancer.com. Very easy, stopmakingcancer.com. And that'll take you right to my website. And you'll find us in Mesa, Arizona. And we've been here for 10 years. We did the same thing in New York 5 years before. So we've been doing this for 15 years, and we've kind of know what we're doing by now.
How about a phone number, doctor, or email, or what else do you want to give? Slowly.
Yeah. Stopmakingcancer.com is you can get all the information. Phone number. Our phone number is 480-834-5414, 480-834-5414, and that's it. I mean, if you want to reach me personally, my personal email is donoharm@thomaslodi.com. It's pretty easy.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank
you. Stefan's going to take another couple minutes to talk about briefly about the health summit.
Yeah, Dr. Lodi, appreciate everything you had to say. That was awesome. He's going to be, Dr. Lodi's going out to Denver this weekend at the Enlivened Living Conference. You can Google that information, Enlivened Living Conference, Denver, 2015. There's a lot of information online about it. The main site is elder-corpse.com, elder-corpse.com, and you'll see his speaking engagement there. We're also going to have many other speakers out there talking about overcoming cancer obstacles, everything in order to have a better life. And it's going to be a great conference out there with Nathan Crane, and he's the one that's putting it together. And look forward to hearing more about you, Dr. Lodi, because a lot of that hits home. So I'm going to be researching your website more. And everything you had to say was awesome. And
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dr. Lodi, we want to have you on again, so we're going to stay in touch with you. Thank you again. And, okay, both of you gentlemen, we've got to finish up here. I want to make sure that we all, our listeners, know that we're having a great show next week. Dr. Joyce Johnson, about telomeres, about a new test she's developed to tell you how long you're going to live and what disease you may be getting. And very, very important. You're both vulnerable. We're all vulnerable. And so that's next Saturday. That's the 17th of October, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Also for L.A. people, Southern Cal people, I have a Gary Nolan meeting coming up. There's also some health shows coming up. We'll announce next week. There's one in New York City coming up next weekend, and we will announce that next weekend. So be ready for that one. It's a big health show. Those of you in New York, be sure to tune in then. So I want to make thank you to everybody. Now, don't forget next week, Dr. Joyce Johnson. It's going to be one of the best shows we've ever had. So tune in next Saturday. I want to thank Jesse, our engineer. I want to thank Jason, the director of PRN.FM. I want to thank our producers in L.A., Jimmy D. and Stuart Hassel. Stefan, thank you for being on a great co-host, great show. And also you, the listeners. Oh, one more, Dr. Lodi. I want to thank him, too. And finally, the listeners, you, thank you. Be sure to tune in next week. And any last-minute quick thoughts before the music comes on, Stefan?
No, that was right on the, yeah. Oops.
We have about a minute before the music comes on. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, everything that he was saying is right on the money. Of course, of overcoming the obstacles in our life are a huge part, but really being aware of what we're eating, what we're drinking, and how we feel and who we are surrounding ourselves with is a key point as well. An attitude of gratitude, awareness in our lifestyle and just our appetite versus our hunger, know the difference. Read. We always need to be reading, listening to books, doing something, expanding our knowledge. Keep on growing.
Yeah, eat well. Eat organic food, vegan diet, juice. Eat less. Chew your food. Get plenty of sleep. Do all the things the doctor said. We're going to have them on again. You can this tell our listeners how they can archive all the shows. Stefan, please.
Yeah, that's at the PRN.FM is the name of the website, and you can go to the shows, and you'll see it's under PRN, which is Progressive Radio Network, so it's PRN.FM. You click on shows, and you'll see Let's Create a Better World is our link with Bobby Ellis, and that's something that you'll be able to go on anytime, 24/7, and review the shows and see what you, any questions you have, feel free to contact us.
Right, and shows is S-H-O-W-S, and be sure to put the date of the show you want to hear in the next few weeks online and on our bio and our introduction on the PRN websites. We're going to have information about future speakers. We've got some great speakers coming up in the next few weeks. There's been five or six shows that we've had in the last few years that people say they'd like to have those guests back again. We're going to do that over the next 6 to 7, 8, 9 weeks, one by one. It depends on their schedules. We've got some great, great guests coming up in the near future. So, again, thank you all for listening, and be sure to tune in next week.
Day by day, that someone